Okay, how many of you are old enough to remember who this guy is? Anybody remember? Who is it? Dan Quayle, Vice President of the United States from 1988 to 1992. Let me tell you something. Vice President Quayle is a bright guy. Very smart, great legislator. But I'll tell you what, if you're old enough, as old as I am, you remember that every time the cameras were rolling, he put his foot in his mouth, didn't he? Oh, man, you just couldn't help but feel so sorry for this guy. And probably his most famous most famous moment we were able to pull up on a video. Andrew helped me out with. It's only 16 seconds. Watch this. Oh, Vice President Quayle, please don't make the little boy misspell the word. But he did, didn't he? And it's like just so cringeworthy. This poor guy, you can't help but feel sorry for him. But he really was a bright guy. But he had other, in addition to the potato video, I mean, there were other things too. He had this quote, it isn't pollution that's harming the environment, it's the impurities in the air and water. Oh, Dan, get a spokesman. Or how about this one? If we don't succeed, we run the risk of failure. Like, Dan, you should write it down first, man. That's what I do. And then back in the late 80s and 90s, there was this famous slogan that was used a lot, a mind is a terrible thing to waste, but of course, Vice President Quayle said a mind is a terrible thing to lose, right? And he said, and it's so unfortunate that many of us have already lost ours. This poor guy. So, if I ever start feeling sorry for myself when it comes to public speaking, I go back and read some of Vice President Quayle's quotes, and I don't feel so bad, but... Well, anyways, whichever way you cut it, whether it's a mind's terrible thing to waste or mind is a terrible thing to lose, he's still right. Your mind is important. There's this myth that Christians are supposed to be these sort of unthinking, kind of simple-minded people. But nothing could be further from the truth. God never wants you to check your brain at the door. God wants you to use your mind. It's very important to him, and it's very important to you. It's important to all of us. And so, therefore, we're going to do this series called Making the Most of Your Mind. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next couple of weeks. You know, one time Jesus was asked a question in Mark chapter 12 by a teacher of the law. A guy walked up to him and said, "What is the most important commandment?" Jesus answered, "The most important one says, 'People of Israel, you have only one Lord and God. You must love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.'" So in this series, we're really going to focus on the mind. And you may not realize this, but there's this invisible war that's taking place and going on all the time. It's going on in you. It's going on around you. It happens 24 hours a day. It is an intense battle. It's a battle for your thoughts, and it's a battle for your mind. And this is where we get terms like spiritual warfare from. You see, whatever gets your thoughts gets you. God knows that. And so that's why he wants you to love him not just with your heart and your soul and your strength, but with your mind as well, because your thoughts are so important. We all understand this sort of mental conflict that we go through, right? Where you wake up and it's a new day and you really want to do the right thing. But somewhere halfway or three quarters of the way through the day, you're like, how did that happen? Or you intended to do something good, but you just never got around to it. It's like internal mental conflict. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Romans 7. He says, you know, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. There's this constant battle going on inside your head and inside my head. And it's intense because whatever gets your thoughts, whatever gets your mind, it's got you. Well, this word mind, it's used all over the place in Scripture. We see it over 200 times in Scripture. And this one English word, mind, basically we get from over a dozen different Hebrew and Greek words, the original languages of the Bible. But basically, if you were to translate it, it means something like this. It basically means your thought system. It's just how you make decisions. That's what we're talking about here. It's the part of you that either accepts or rejects. Whether you accept or reject spinach, or you accept or reject a job offer, or you accept or reject God. That's why the stakes are so big here, because your mind is so clearly and indistinguishably a part of your decision-making process. And so that's why it's important to develop it, to use it, to expand it, to protect it. Because you're supposed to love God with your mind and your neighbor with your mind as well. And so throughout this series called Making the Most of Your Mind, we're going to be dealing with this question. How do I bring my thoughts under control so that I can do the things God wants me to do? Because when you have that moment and you didn't do what you wanted to do, or you did something that you hate to do, at some level, your thoughts weren't under control. So if we can begin to wrestle with this up front, on the front end, I'm telling you, you'll be a better servant of God, you'll have better relationships in your life, you'll be better at work, it'll be great, and you'll just feel more at peace and more comfortable. So how do you get rid of these negative sort of fear, worry, envy, lust, greed, that kind of stuff? How do you focus on things like worship and love and compassion? We're going to look at five biblical principles that will help us with this. Two don'ts and three do's. As for the next couple of weeks, we take a look at how to make the most of your mind. Father, you gave us brains that are so powerful, we don't know how to use them. Sometimes we're like little children with powerful vehicles driving all over town, doing damage, because we haven't put effort, we haven't put prayer or thought in how to use this powerful mind that you've given us or created in your image. And so, Father, we want to ask you to please help us to manage our thoughts, to get better at doing this so we can be better servants, so we can live a better life now, and so that we can enjoy the hope that we have of living with you forever. So please bless what we say today. Help us to see Jesus. Help us to be better servants of him. Help us to love each other more deeply. Help us to love you with our heart, strength, soul, and mind. We pray it in Jesus' name, and we all say amen. All right, well, here's our first stop and our first point in this series. And if you've got your outlines and your bulletins, you want to get them out now and follow along, now's a good time to do that. Our first stop is this point. Don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Now, you should believe a lot of what you think. And a lot of what you think is very true and very good. But so much of what we think is wrong and false. And we need to realize that not everything that we think is the truth. And just because we think a thought, that doesn't make it true. Let me tell you something. If you think a false thought, and then you think it again and again, and you think that false thought 10,000 times, that false thought is no more true the 10,000th time you thought it than the first time you thought it. It's just as true at the end as it was at the beginning. And it's because we have this ability to kind of convince ourselves that just because we thought it, it's true, that the Bible uses some very uncomfortable language when it comes to describing our minds. Language like we find in Ephesians 4, that our minds are darkened, or in Romans 1, depraved. How about this one? 1 Timothy chapter 3, or excuse me, chapter 6, corrupted. Or this is my favorite of the bunch from Proverbs 12. A sensible person wins admiration, but a warped mind is despised. A warped mind. Now I know what my fourth grade teacher meant. Okay, now it's all coming into play. Why does the Bible use words like that to describe your mind and mine? Well, it's because they start off good and innocent. You start off okay, your mind is blank, you're created in God's image. But because we live in a fractured creation and in a broken world, over time, false, untrue things start to find their way in. And as they do so, we get hurt and we hurt other people. And we start to believe a lot of wrong, false things. And let me tell you something. Just for you to think a thought that's false or that's a lie, it doesn't necessarily have to come from Satan. It can. Okay, and sometimes it does, but it doesn't have to. Sometimes it can come from inside, just from you. When Satan gives us an idea, that's called temptation. When God gives you and me an idea, that's called inspiration. When I give myself an idea, that's called just plain dumb. because it's coming from me and I haven't checked it out with God. I haven't verified it. I haven't done anything to fact check it to see if it's true or not. And the problem is we tell ourselves all of these false ideas and we do it over and over and over. We play these tapes over and again in our head and we start to believe them. And we don't pay any attention as to whether or not it may be true. We call this deceiving ourselves. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. Look at what the Bible says about deceiving yourself. Let's start here in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul says, stop. He says, stop, I'm begging you. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. How about this one from Galatians chapter 6? If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Let me stop and give you a real strong biblical principle right here. Self-promotion and self-deception always go hand in hand. Self-promotion, self-exaltation, and self-deception always go hand in hand. Anytime you feel yourself starting to get a little arm strain from patting yourself on the back, there's probably a little self-deception going on in there someplace. And Paul warns us against it. How about this one from James 1? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Or one more from 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. This is a good time for you and I to ask ourselves, what lies have you been telling yourself and believing? Well, I would never lie to myself. Well, don't be so sure. Listen, the point this morning isn't to create a level of self-doubt and to make you lose your confidence. The point this morning is for all of us to become more thoughtful as we walk through life, to really give some consideration to what we're thinking, what we're saying, and what we're doing, to make the most of our minds. Let me tell you something. You and I have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves. We'll tell ourselves that things are okay when they're not okay. We'll tell ourselves that things are terrible when they're really not that bad. We'll tell ourselves things like, you know, I'd only be happy if I just had a little bit more money, or I'd be happy if I had a little bit more time, or I'd be happy if I looked better and lost 15 pounds. You know, we tell ourselves lies when it comes to our faith, like, you know what? Going to worship doesn't matter. God doesn't care about that. All he cares about is my relationship with the Lord. That church stuff, you don't need that. That's a lie. That's not supported by Scripture. Or we tell ourselves things like, I go to church. And so therefore, because I have a gold star in attendance when it comes to Sunday morning, as long as I got that locked down, nothing else matters. That's not true either. We have an amazing ability to deceive ourselves. I do it nearly every day. At the end of nearly every day, I look at the mirror and I look at myself and I say, wow, you really didn't eat very much today. Oh, yes, I did. I ate a lot. Let me tell you. I eat a lot every day. I may skip a meal or two, but I know where cake hides the snacks. And if her famous white snack basket is empty, I know where she keeps her baking goods with the Nestle chocolate chips. And I go to that. But at the end of every day, I look at myself and say, oh, you really managed. No, I didn't. We have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves. Why? Because we're so desperate to believe what we say. Oh, if only I was married, I'd be happy. Oh, if I wasn't married, then I'd be happy. Haven't we thought those kinds of things? We need to let that stuff go. We need to understand that not everything that we think is true. We need to step back and start to think. Let me tell you, people, a little bit more. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. Fordham University, its sports mascot is the Rams. Now, for years, decades, they've always, every year, bought a live ram as their mascot. And they have a guy who walks around in a big fuzzy suit, too. But they always buy a live ram. And they always name him Ramses. Well, back in the late 1950s, they bought this ram, Ramses the 24th. And everybody was going on and on about him. You know what? Ram's a big, masculine, powerful animal. It's a good sports mascot. And they thought, this is the best ram ever. He's so good. He's so powerful. He's so virile. And everybody loved Ramses the 24th and thought he was the best ram ever until he gave birth to a baby lamb. True story. Ramses was a girl. And what they discovered was that, yes, there are certain species where the females have horns too. And every year they had this, and they would go through these big auditions and everything. They went to the people who bought the ram and said, excuse us, how could you let this happen? And they said, it had horns. We didn't know. See, you got to take the extra step. You got to take a little bit closer look and realize that it's easy to be deceived. It's easy for us to deceive. It's actually easier for us to deceive ourselves than it is for us to tell ourselves the truth, isn't it? We make snap judgments. We all have biases. We jump to conclusions. We make assumptions. We fail to see the big picture. There are lots of ways that we don't tell ourselves the truth. And so for that reason, it makes sense to do what Paul tells us to do in 2 Corinthians 13, which is to test yourselves and find out if you are really true to your faith. When was the last time you tested yourself? Or are you just going through life believing everything that you think? Better yet, how about letting God test us? The psalmist says this in Psalms 26. He says to God, put me on trial, Lord. Go ahead. It's okay. And cross-examine me. Test my motives. And by now, hopefully you're thinking, okay, Bill, you got me. I'll admit it. I don't like to admit it, but I'll admit that I lie to myself every once in a while, but I want to be honest. I don't want to have these thinking errors. I want to take the next step in terms of faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Well, that brings us to our second point. We need to talk about how to help you and me make our mind mind. When I was a little kid, I would go visit my relatives in West Virginia, and I would act up, and they would always look at me, and they'd say, you need to mind me, young man. And they were right. Because I was acting out. And here's what I've discovered. My thoughts are very disobedient. They don't do what I want them to do. And I have thoughts that are flying here and there and everywhere and jumping all over the place. Like the old preachers used to say, when I want to ponder, my mind starts to wander. But when I want to pray, my thoughts drift away. And I bet I'm not the only one. Don't you have that happen too, where you really want to concentrate or focus on something? Focus on God. But no matter how hard you try, some distraction comes up, something happens, and your mind starts to drift away. Well, the Bible teaches us how we can begin to make our mind mind, how we can start to focus on the things that will really make a difference in our life. And the best verse that I can show you that illustrates this point is from 2 Corinthians 3:5. The Bible says this, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You say that again, we take captive every thought. Most thoughts? Every thought, Paul says, and make it obedient to Christ. Now that phrase, we take captive every thought, comes from an extremely strong Greek verb, akmalatizo, which means to bring under control, to conquer, to capture. And that's what the apostle is teaching us to do with our thoughts. And we say, so they're just not flying around all the time. You say, okay, well, how do I go about doing that? That's what we want to know. That's what we're going to talk about. The first step is to become aware of your thoughts. You have to think about what you're thinking about. You have to slow things down. You have to write things down. And you have to begin to become aware of your thoughts and what you're thinking about. I'm going to say something right now that I think is going to be a huge relief to a lot of us. Just because a thought pops in your head, that doesn't necessarily make it a sin. Just because you have an envious, greedy, lustful, selfish thought, that doesn't automatically make it a sin. It's when that thought takes up residence in your heart and starts to dwell inside you and you start to really focus on it. That's when it does the real damage. Martin Luther said it this way about lust, not Martin Luther King, but the old reformer Martin Luther. They asked him about lust because they felt so bad because they would The guys back in the Middle Ages would think these lustful thoughts. And Luther said, look, just because a bird flies over your head in the air doesn't mean that you've made a mistake. But if you've let a bird make a nest in your hair, that's a big mistake. Right? So just because you think a thought doesn't make it a sin, but if you let it sink down inside, that's where the trouble is. So step one is become aware of your thoughts. And then step two, of course, is to make them obedient to Christ. And with that in mind, I want you to say, well, that sounds very poetic and metaphoric. What's that mean? Well, I can show you easier than tell you. So I got my buddies here for backup. Eric and Carmel and Bob, come on up. They're going to give me a hand as we do this illustration. Some of you guys have seen me do this before, but it's been a while. Some of you have never seen it. All right. So here we go. I got my three helpers here. All right. So these two guys, they represent thoughts inside my head. All right. So thoughts, you come over here for a second. Now this guy, and he's really uncomfortable about it, Bob represents, in this, just for this illustration only, he represents the Lord. All right. So Bob, you're going to stand right here. So stand right here. You face there. You guys stand up there, and you face the audience. All right. And you face the church. All right, so this room right here, this room represents my mind and your mind. This room in here, this small room, this is my heart. If my thoughts can go from my mind into my heart, they'll change my behavior, my attitude, and my outlook on life. So if they go from mind to heart, now they've taken up residence. So we better do something before it gets that far. So the first thought we're going to deal with is sort of a bully thought. So bully thought, come on over here. Face him. What do you have to say?
Yo, you're a loser, man. You're not going to make it anywhere. Just keep on thinking you're going to, man.
Oh, man. So I'm like a bum?
Yeah, man. You a bum. That too.
I'm no good?
Nah, just keep giving
me. I'm a failure?
I guess so, man. You just put up yourself.
Oh, look at that smile on his face. Don't bear it. He's enjoying this. He's like buried himself in the park. And he's got that amazing New York accent too, so. Well, I guess if you say so, it must be true. Come on in here. You can go in, bully. Hold it. Now, if you're an ordinary person, you let that bully thought go from, that tells you you're a loser and a failure, you let it go from your mind into your heart. But you're not an ordinary person. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. And so you apply 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 5. Say, look, before you get in there, we have some business to take care of. I'm going to handcuff you, take you captive, and I'm going to present you before the one who makes decisions about what goes from my head to my heart. So, Lord, this bully thought, does he get to go inside there? Is he allowed in there? He's thinking about it.
It's no. Say no.
Oh,
say no loud.
No.
Oh, he said no loud. By the way, I sprung this on these. I told him not to talk. Just give like a big no and those kind of. He says no, right? And the reason is because he's given me his word. And the Lord's going to say, look, we've covered this before. It may have been a while since you thought of it. But he's going to say, take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. What does that say? Ephesians 2 says, we are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So the thought may say I'm a bum and no good, but the Lord says I'm a masterpiece. So no offense, but you are out. Okay, so you go over here. Now that's our first thought. I'm going to give you one more example. Our second thought isn't a bully, he's a groupie. So come over here. This is my groupie thought. Now do you have something? You want to go from my mind into my heart? Go ahead. What do you have to say to me?
You're a man of faith.
Oh.
Strong.
Strong?
You're a great singer.
Yeah, great singer. Go on. Continue.
You're a great man. You're just wonderful, smart.
Wonderful, he said, and smart and brilliant. Well, listen, I have to tell you, you're probably the wisest thought I've ever had. And I think it's extremely important that you go from my mind into my heart, but before you go in there, this is probably just a formality. We have a little arrangement here because I follow Jesus. I take every thought captive. And I submit it to the authority of Christ. So before you go from here to there, you have to come over here. Come on, I'm going to take you captive. So, Master, what's the word? This incredibly brilliant thought once into my heart. Is it a yes or a no?
No.
Oh, no! It's a no! And he would say, my friend, my child, have you not read Romans 12 recently that says, do not think you are better than you really are? So whether it's a bully thought or a groupie flattery thought, because pride can be just as destructive as self-hatred, no matter what it is, it has to pass muster with the one who guards my heart and who guards my thoughts, right? All right. Can you help me thank my helpers here? Let's give them a hand. There you go, guys. He wanted to get in my mind. Let me tell you something. If you could get in my mind, you'd pay big money to get out. Listen, all this whole process that we're talking about right there. And I want you to take that, and in your own way, I want you to incorporate it too. God wants you to incorporate that same kind of process into your life. That'll work for lust. That'll work for addictions. That'll work for envy. The minute you start to dwell on a thought, you go to a Bible verse, you go to something that God has told you, you submit it to His authority, and then you decide whether or not it can get into your heart. It works great for good stuff too. Should I help this person? Should I use my gifts in the church? Can I give a little bit more financially? I've been given the same amount financially for 25 years. I wonder if I could do better in that, or I wonder if God needs me to take it. Whatever it is, whatever the thought or the decision is, what you want to do is you want to submit it to the authority of Christ, check it out in this book right here, and then decide if it gets into your heart. So step one is you be aware of your thoughts. This only works if you're slowing down long enough to listen to your thoughts. Step two is you make them submit to the authority of Christ. And number three, your big red flag is self-promotion follows self-deception. And you always remember, if you toot your own horn, the notes are always flat, right? I always try to remember that. And again, this is a good time for each of us to ask, what lies have I been telling myself and believing? I'm unlovable. I'm wonderful. You know, I'm important and special. God said, if that's coming from God, it's true. If it's a lie, though, that you're telling yourself something some coach, some teacher, some parent told you years ago, it doesn't necessarily make it true. You have to slow down and think about it. If you can start doing this, if you can start thinking about your thoughts, and if you can figure out the lies that you've been believing, then you've taken a big step toward making the most of your mind. Father, thank you so much for being here this morning and being in this place. Thank you, God, for being a God of grace and mercy and compassion. We ask that we slow things down, write things down, talk to wise people. And most importantly, Father, give us the presence of mind to know your mind as expressed in Scripture. Give us the willingness to be fearless in searching and submit each thought to your authority. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Amen. You know, I started off by telling you a little bit about old Dan Quayle. You know what he said? You know the thing that he said that made the media more mad than anything else? The thing that earned him the special privilege of becoming a punchline for years? He was talking in front of a public group one time, and he opened his speech by saying this. He said, I pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ, whose kingdom stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty for all who believe. Did you know, Dan? I bet you knew about the potato thing, but you probably didn't know that one, did you? You know, once he said that, people pretty much had him branded as somebody that they wanted to take out. I wonder how many of us could say that privately, publicly. Is that how you live your life in your home? Well, if you do make that statement and your life proclaims that statement, then God has a special promise for you. You live with him forever. If you've taken that statement and put it into action and been baptized and had your sins washed away, if you've made up your mind, then God keeps his promises. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you've never done that, if you've never been baptized, you could do that today. You could just take. Maybe you've been thinking about it for a long time, but you've never taken that step. We'd be glad to help you with that today. Or maybe you're just hurting from some lie that has been damaging you and beating you up that should never have gotten in there. But somehow it did, and we would like nothing better than to pray with you or for you today. Chris has a song picked out. It's a song that's designed, I think it's a really good selection based on what we've been talking about today. But if we can serve you in any way, come forward while we stand and sing.